Shut up, robot. Okay. That they can't shut hear, up, and it's just robot. Me yelling. All
that's
right.
My new favorite intro is Shut Up, Robot.
Shut up, robot. Okay, so how are you?
Well.
Well. Mm-hmm. Martin?
I'm okay.
You doing okay? You seem melancholy today. Tonight, whatever you are.
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong? What's wrong, big guy?
No, nothing necessarily. Just a busy time. I think we were kind of riffing on this before we joined. It's life, you know.
Yeah.
Life kind of happening and getting in the way.
Yeah.
She's getting in the way of this.
Yeah.
she's a real meanie sometimes, you know.
Real meanie.
That life of mine, I swear.
Yeah.
So demanding.
So it never ends. So speaking of life and things that annoy us, life. I didn't really realize that it was, yeah, life just in general. I didn't realize it was my turn to the TJ like 15 minutes before this. Like, you got one? I was like, I turned to Brenda. I was like, what annoys me? And she was like, don't ask me that. I was like, okay, cool.
Don't get started on timing. I'm in my car right now.
No, I know. But like, yeah. I know. But like, Brenda just like couldn't be bothered. She's like, that is the longest list I've ever heard of, like could think of. And I was like, okay, fine. But like, just pick one. She's like, no. It's like, okay, fine. But I did think of one to kind of piggyback off of Mark's last time with like phone bullshit shenanigans.
Etiquette.
I fucking hate, and this does relate to work, but like also in a broader sense too. I fucking hate when people walk around on fucking FaceTime or having just a full-blown, like, speaker conversation. Like, just either in my store or just in general public. Like, if I'm walking on the street and some fucking twat walks by me on FaceTime, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, have your private conversation.
Right.
Yeah, it drives me fucking nuts.
Before we dive any deeper with that, one of my really close friends listened to last week's episode and had a conversation with me and was like, Mark, that is such bullshit because you constantly pull up your phone. And in the middle of a conversation, you will start texting or, you know, whatever. And I was like, that's not true. And I was very much in denial.
He gave you the old et tu, Brutus.
they called me out.
I know for a fact. I didn't say it last week, but like, yeah, my wife, Brenda, my wife for everyone who doesn't know, but does that constantly. Like, I'll be mid-sentence and she's just like, I'll just fucking leave.
Right. You just hear the clickety-clack.
After talking about it, I was thinking about it and I was like, Cody, I do that to you all the fucking time.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't say anything. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Was the whole thing aimed at me?
Apparently also aimed at Mark himself.
yeah. I was creating an annoyance about myself that was also targeted against you, CJ.
Yeah. It was self-sabotage and I was collateral.
And I'm the only one here who not attached to my phone.
tell me about it.
You make a good point though, Cody, because I see that in the streets of New York all the time.
Yeah.
People having FaceTime conversations with their phone, you know, fully kind of at arm's length.
Yeah, like it's like all the way out there. Like they're definitely like an impediment in their entire like space. Like
right. And they don't even have you know, AirPods or kind of Bluetooth headphones in.
It doesn't help even if they do though, because like I don't care that I can't hear the other person. I can't like what bothers me is the fact that you've decided to bring them into your world, which is also partially mine. Like,
right.
Especially when I'm trying to help them at work and I'm trying to like, they ask me for a shoe, but it's like, can you get this? And I'm like, okay, cool. I bring it out. I'm trying to like, do the thing. And they're like, yeah. Oh, what? And I'm like, fuck off. Like,
Cody, I don't know if you're the authority, the right authority on this. And I'll explain why. Cody takes about 3 hours to respond to one text message.
And things to do.
Hold on. I'm not finished.
Okay.
He refuses to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Cody's from like, he's younger than me, but he's somehow from a different generation.
I'm from 1840.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, in the words of Nicolas Cage, Cody belongs in a museum.
Does Cody answer the phone like Mr. Burns? He's like, ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
No, he refuses to answer the phone. That's the thing.
He just ignores it.
Considering that I got all the way to like an iPhone 7 not knowing how to do caps lock, like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Like, wow. I'm not interested in technology really, like, to a point, like, the as far as my technology interest goes is like my PS4. Like, and like what like that can do, and like a smart TV, like that's cool. Anything other than that, I do not give a shit what my phone does. I do not give a shit what like the computers can do. Like,
where does your phone go when you get home?
I usually just toss it somewhere.
Where does that sucker hide?
I literally just toss it like on a chair or a couch and then go to a different room.
And it's just there?
Yeah, it just sits there.
That's the weirdest shit I've ever
heard. Do you remember back in the day, maybe this was just like my dad in particular, or maybe a British thing, but like my dad would come home from work and put his cell phone in a drawer.
Okay, I don't go that far, but yeah, okay.
And I just imagine that Cody does, he like comes home, and then there were times that my dad would take a call, and if he didn't know who the person on the other, you know, on the other end was, he would just put it in the drawer and shake it.
Love to do that. Well, like, CJ, I don't know if you ever noticed, but like when I come over to your place, like I'll put my phone on like you know where like your Aquaman is?
Yeah.
Like, so I'll just toss my phone like back there in that corner and just like not look at it for hours. Like,
it's true. I don't know. There's something very, well, I could just be jealous because there is something very strong-willed about doing that, about like not worrying about what's on the other line. But then again, I think I've been kind of like indoctrinated by my own phone because I've gotten like a lot of bad news on it in the past. So I kind of want to. So I kind of
like
be
the punishment.
Well, no, I just like, I'm, like every phone call is like a little panic. And
your phone's made you a masochist.
I've kind of become accustomed to that. Like, it keeps me on my toes.
That's okay. That's a very valid point, but it's the exact reason I like forsake it. I'm like, you're nothing but bad news. Like, go away.
You cast this demon child into the volcano.
Exactly. Especially during lockdown. Like, every time I looked at it, it was just like someone died. A cop killed someone. I'm just like, demon, be gone. Like,
right. Like, I don't want to deal with it.
It's a good point because I have the Apple News notifications.
Oh, I didn't know. No way.
And they will keep going. If you don't put your phone on, you know, like nighttime mode or whatever the, you know, silent mode, whatever it is, it will keep going into the night and just bring you terrible news.
Yeah.
Up, you know, to the point where you're about to fall asleep, and then it will be like, bah!
Dude, I know we're a little off topic from like the original annoyance, but like the fact that Brenda has a notification on for the BBC news and theirs is so aggressive, like it'll be in the middle of the night, it's like it's like 3 a.m and I'm just like it's like death and chaos.
No, that one is the BBC sends you a notification to let you know that the Queen has lived another day. It's like she's still okay.
But no, like I feel like the initial annoyance for me like stems from, and we're all old enough to understand this, but when like Bluetooth headpieces started becoming a thing, and I remember being at my little brother's baseball game, and I was standing like in the, you know, like when you go to the outfield and there's the fence, the cutoff, and then you like some people could stand in the field beyond that and watch from there.
No, like, for sure, like, yeah.
Little league games. So I was like standing over there, and this guy next to me was just fucking talking. And I had never seen one before. And I was like, what the fuck is up with this guy? Like, he's been talking for like 45 minutes, like very loudly and just casually. And then like, I like saw in his other ear that it was like this headpiece. I was like, fucking loser. And just like,
I guess, like
yeah.
The people that talk on their phones in public on like speaker are almost like the offspring of people that had a Bluetooth. It's like, they're the next generation. They're the TNG of assholes. Like, I don't know what it is, but I think there's something a little bit kind of look at me about it. Like they want the attention of like talking on speaker or talking on FaceTime or even worse, playing music on your phone in public.
Oh, it's so fucking weird to me. I hate that.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Dude, and like, it's always bad music.
I was reading this article of like somebody was like listening to their like Beats pill, like, you know, the little pill speaker.
Yeah.
On like a nature hike. And they were like, I really just wanted to listen to a babbling brook and birds. And I couldn't because this dude was listening to his speaker.
That's so
annoying. That's like, probably the worst example of that. Because in New York, you know, at the worst of it, you get on a subway and someone has a speaker and they're playing music I've never heard of before by an artist I couldn't possibly name. Yeah. If you're in a national park, like if I was at Joshua Tree and someone had one of those little pill speakers and they were playing that kind of music, I would knock that person clean out. Like
the newspaper the next day would say missing hype beast in the middle of
Yeah, missing like, hype beast.
Or it would say pill. It would be like Beats pill forced so hard up somebody's anus that they couldn't possibly remove it.
The Beats pill strangler.
Yeah. Put in an orifice aggressively.
I forgot it.
I'm kind of guilty of this, but in a weird way, and I'll explain it. I was on a flight from New York City to LA, and I was on my laptop, and I had my headphones plugged in, and they were brand new headphones, and I was super excited to hear like the quality and sound, and they were for sure plugged into my laptop, and I hit like, boom, like press play on like the heaviest hardcore album I had at that time, and I was like jamming out to it, and I thought there was something wrong with my new headphones that I kept trying to fuck with the volume, but it was in the wrong headphone jack and it was playing like full bore on my laptop. And a stewardess, a flight steward came up to me and was like, "Hey, do you mind turning that down?" And they said it like, they said it so sweet. And I was like, "Is it playing right now?" And they were like, "Yeah, buddy, it's fucking playing." All
right. That's an accident though.
I literally, it was a 5-hour flight and my head was in my fucking lap the whole time. I was so embarrassed.
The entire flight was listening to Dance Gavin Dance.
Yeah.
It was this band called Amendment 18. And like the first song starts. Yeah, the first song starts out with like, "I fucking hate you," like screaming. Like,
might as well just be Kill Whitney Dead or something.
Right. It's so bad.
that's accidental because I've done that before, but it was when I lived with my grandma and it was porn and I didn't have my thing plugged in and my door was open.
Oh hell yeah.
And luckily no one heard.
Stories of kids like accidentally playing porn on like their family's Bluetooth speakers and stuff.
Oh boy, I've heard about that too. Yeah, or like it connects to something else and it just starts like broadcasting. Yeah, I've heard of that.
But technology is dangerous.
I don't trust it. I don't need my phone anywhere. Like, I don't need it anywhere near me.
I do like the image of Cody walking into any given room and just throwing his phone to the other side of it, like far away.
I'll open the door and like my couch is like to my right, and I'll literally just have it. I'll like walk in. Somebody's like with looking, and I'm just like,
"See ya." Like,
his phone case is made out of like styrofoam just in case it goes too far.
Dude,
like,
I just got a case a week ago. I haven't even had a case ever, and I just chucked that thing. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's stupid. Like,
well, with every advancement, I think there's also an opportunity to get it wrong. And I don't think you should be cocky. I think the impetus is on us to be cocky with a new technology.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you don't need to FaceTime anyone unless you're FaceTiming like your grandma or to like see your new niece for the first time. Like, get the fuck off FaceTime. It's not necessary. Just fucking, if you gotta call someone, call or just text. Like, fuck.
Everybody be like Cody. Throw that fucker in the hallway.
Fucking, I don't know, put your head up and look around at the fucking world. Yeah. Like, stupid. That's my annoyance. I fucking hate phones.
That was a good one, Cody. Thank you, Cody.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. Woo!
Welcome back, time travelers. At home, they call me Big Mark, and I hit dingers.
That was disgusting. Don't ever say that again.
Ugh.
I'm going to substitute that for a crisp. There we go.
There it is.
Yes.
Wait, let me try that again. I'm gonna do it one more time, okay?
Okay.
Give me a second. My name's Big Mark, and that, back home, I hit dingers.
Oh, geez. That wasn't better. You fucking
even
dagger.
Worse.
That was worse?
Yeah, it's the same thing, but now you fuck your cousin.
No, I fuck my truck, okay?
You don't
I fuck
get,
my truck.
You, which is also your cousin. But
yeah. Her name's, her nickname, her nickname's obviously
Redneck.
your cousin's nickname is obviously Truck.
Yeah.
Her name is Marlene, and neither of you love her like I do, okay?
Yeah, Marlene Truck Jones. Also, Cody, I thought it'd be funny. I just realized there's an option to raise your hand on Zoom.
Oh, I heard about that.
Let's do it constantly while Mark's doing his thing.
Wait, how do you do it?
Apparently,
reactions.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's an option to like Hello? Blow up or something as well.
Hold on. Sorry, Mark. Cody's got something to say.
Hi.
Cody, do you have a question?
No, I do not.
Oh, you're applauding me. You're
yay.
Wait, someone told me that there was an option to
how do I take these away?
Edit yourself.
Well, there's a lot of these on Zoom, but
yeah, I mean maybe, yeah. You're right. Well, look,
right. What are we doing today?
Okay, so today we are going to discuss
I can lower
Andrew
my hand. Sorry.
Jackson. Wait. you just moved in the priority order on my screen.
Mark, yes. go again, buddy. Sorry.
He probably, yeah, no. We're going to talk about Andrew Jackson.
Today.
Yeah.
That long face motherfucker.
Yeah.
Boo.
Wiry, gray haired piece of shit. So I honestly thought that the best way to approach this would be to keep the intro short and sweet this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure
just
that
keep on wriggling out, Mark.
Keep on keeping on.
two episodes getting away with it.
Can I say though real quick while doing research on this guy?
Wait, can you raise your hand first, please?
Oh yeah, sorry. Let me be professional. So
perfect.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Please, Brenda, tell me what you want to say.
Hey, you guys said you prefer it, so I'm Brenda now. Let me put my hand down. Okay, cool. While doing research on this guy, I came across a picture that I've seen before. It was like a picture of him in his later years that I never knew was him. Like, he looks so drastically fucking different in his like 60s or 70s than he does like in his like quintessential like $20 bill picture.
Cody, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think CJ has something to say.
Yes, go.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
I thought he had red hair.
No, it's a common false conception.
Is that common?
No, it's not.
Oh,
okay. I was just trying to make CJ feel better.
Okay, let me go ahead.
Did you actually think he had red hair?
Well, now I got to raise my hand again, Cody.
No, you don't. No, we're asking you.
Yeah, I thought he had like stringy red hair. I saw it written down somewhere.
I think until the age of like 14, he might have, and he was gray.
Emperor Palpatine after that.
Yeah, I mean his parents were Scott Irish.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can see the red hair. Yeah,
you know they might have been, but I think he was gray from like 16 onwards. so anyway, I wanted to keep the intro short and sweet.
Okay.
And maybe we might have some listeners out there that are thinking, Andrew Jackson, what a great president. Like, why are we jumping in the time machine to bring justice against this guy?
Because
right?
We're all fucking wrong.
So I thought that maybe I would just give the cliff notes.
Okay.
So
cool.
Here they are. Andrew Jackson believed that every man should have an equal chance to succeed, and that no one's rights were more important than another's. unless you were a Native American, a woman, or an African American.
Yeah, right. I was gonna raise my hand for that one and just give a solid.
I was gonna say only if you're white.
Like that felt good.
Yeah.
Right. Woo. Like yeah. let's roll the credits.
Yeah,
that was a hot take.
He was the everyman for the white man.
He was absolutely the everyman for the white man.
Yeah.
And if that sounds a lot like, you know, maybe you or your father or grandfather, this might be the time to stop listening.
Yeah, leave.
No, but yeah. Okay.
Look, if your family owns a lot of land for mysterious reasons, please fucking turn off the podcast right now.
There's the door.
If you ever wondered why you have cotton in your yard, get the fuck out of here.
Get out.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
No, but you know, maybe, okay, as you both know, and probably people tuning in weekly, no, I didn't go to American high school. I wasn't raised in the American education system. I know it's hard to believe.
Wow.
It's really hard to believe.
You sound so native.
I know. Don't, that's the wrong word to use.
Sorry.
What if this whole time Mark was doing like a reverse Dr. House, where he was like Hugh Laurie, like he was actually an American with like the best British accent you've ever heard.
I meant native in the sense that you're from, like you like are actually from here.
Right. But it is pretty, when you think about it, like Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Holland, Christian Bale, Henry Cavill, all of those guys are British with incredible American accents.
Christian Bale's not British.
Yeah, he is.
He's Welsh. Welsh.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's from Wales.
He's the pride of Wales, my friend.
Dude, I had no idea. That's such a shocker.
Look up the rant of him yelling at a light technician
in Terminator.
Dude, he gets super British.
There's an accent. I had no idea. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, like
don't make him angry.
They all have really, really great accents. The thing that is, like, a lot of them do so many roles. Christian Bale's probably a victim of this. Same with like Charlie Hunnam. Where they do so many roles for so long that their accent becomes really warped. To where it becomes this weird amalgamation. So, like, you never hear them actually sound the way that they actually sound. And then even when they speak normally, candidly in their personal life, they almost don't sound British anymore.
You know what was an absolute stunner was Martin Freeman on Fargo. That was an absolute amazing.
He also has a really good like American accent.
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Hardy's getting there because he's done a lot of roles recently with American accents. He's gonna begin to sound.
He's kind of peaked at like Eastern American though. Like he can't get past Boston. Like
just Venom.
Yeah, like he can't get past like the Bay. Like,
I mean, I'm the same.
Yeah,
that's my go-to.
What you guys know, but it works for Tom Hardy though.
It does, and whatever works for Tom Hardy, quite frankly,
it's my celebrity doppelganger. He's my favorite.
Punch me in the face, and I'll say thank you. So,
yeah, harder. All right,
now that we've moved past,
Oliver, twist that shit, please.
Yeah,
can I have some more?
But what my point was before we derailed. Many of you, a lot of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, you were probably taught at some point that Andrew Jackson, you know, was an impressive individual, that he was one of the best, you know, US presidents. And at the very least, you might have used his image in a rolled format when times were tough and there wasn't a Benny lying around, you know, to sniff white powder up your nose. But an example.
Oh, my God. God,
that went somewhere I wasn't expecting.
I did not see that coming.
I'm sorry. I will say though,
Mark, like in a serious note though, weirdly enough, in the education system here, they do not teach you anything about Andrew Jackson. They don't talk about him at all. No, because we don't talk about the War of 1812, and that's where he like peaks. And yeah. the War of 1812 is like a page, one like page in our history. Like, yeah, the British were still kind of bitter and they tried it again.
I remember it literally being a paragraph in my history textbook. Yeah.
And you see like a picture of a burning ship and that's fucking it.
Like, I have to say that the summary that you just laid out, the British were still kind of bitter and they tried it again, sounds like me with every ex-girlfriend of my point was that maybe not in the school system, but at some point you might have heard or learned that, you know, that Jackson was, for example, the father of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Right. However, it could easily be argued that the little magician, and I'm not talking about Lionel Messi when I say that.
Hey, nobody gets that.
For all you soccer fans.
Do they call Messi the little magician?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nobody gets it, Mark.
I know who Messi is. I like soccer.
I know who Messi is. He's amazing.
But do you know who the other little magician was?
No.
David Copperfield?
No, Martin Van Buren.
Oh, he was little. He had the crazy hair. Yeah.
I think he was described as the president with the worst haircut. Mm.
That was Jackson's successor, right? The president right after, eighth president. Yeah.
A lot of historians argue that Martin Van Buren was in fact seemingly the first person to realize that the United States needed more than just one political party. And I imagine for that reason alone, his picture is pinned to Nixon's dartboard at some point. But so you might also know that Andrew Jackson is described as a strong man who won many duels. He loved a fucking duel.
Yeah.
and survived humble beginnings to become only the second U.S. president at the time without a college degree. So I think Washington was the
loser.
Well, look, gather around, get comfortable.
Okay.
Be sure to lean in close. Oh, this is perfect. This is so good. I'm seeing skin cells on CJ that I haven't seen in such a long time.
We're also oily.
We're also sweaty and oily.
I'm fresh off a day's work, pal. Drink it in.
Yeah. Oh, commit this to memory, okay?
I'm in a boxed-in bedroom. It's getting real musty.
It's getting intense.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson was a bloodthirsty tyrant, a slave owner, an ethnic cleanser, and a piece of shit so abhorrent that his crimes should probably fill a museum cataloging all of the awful things that he does and paying homage to his victims.
So true. Okay? So true.
Agreed. 110%.
We are going to pin this motherfucker down this episode. We're going to pin him down, and I'm not going to start at the beginning this week like we typically do. I'm not going to humanize this man by telling you where he was born, on what day, and what star sign he was. All that you need to know,
CJ.
All that you need to know is that a hole in the ground opened up, which gave access to a fiery elevator straight from hell. And this hooved fucking demon was shot up above the ground and he just appeared, okay? He just appeared. So
yes! I literally, like, all I can picture in my head is fucking the scene from the Jackass movie when Chris Pontius gets shot up out of the vent in New York as Satan. And just on the sidewalk. That's all.
That is so perfect.
Cody, Mark, I'm fucking pumped.
That
dude.
Was fucking epic. Like,
do you guys want to go? Like, you guys want to go? Like, work out together?
We need to start a riot.
I'm serious. A lot of people will tell you that Andrew Jackson was a product of his time. Okay, which is fragrant bullshit. That might as well be jasmine. It smells so good.
Jasmine.
Because Andrew Jackson being a product of his time is the equivalent. It's not even the equivalent of like your grandfather being excused for his slightly racist terminology around the Thanksgiving table. Okay, mm-hmm. And let me tell you why I said that. So a direct quote in 1866 from Andrew Jackson: "This is a country for white men. And by God, as long as I am president, it shall be a government for white men." And I don't know if you guys knew this.
Fucking gross, dude.
I didn't know this until I was doing the research, but one of the portraits that Trump brought into the White House when he was elected was Andrew Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally, he like the entire time I was doing notes, I just kept connecting them. And after these, I was like, I wonder how he feels about orange men. Like,
but like, tell me that's a sentence or, you know, a quote, whatever, that you feel comfortable with. It's not, you know, it's...
No, it's not.
Are you kidding me? It's a sentence that I feel the least comfortable with.
Yeah.
It makes me like cringe inside. It gives me the... It gives me the willies.
There's an odd connection between them.
Yeah. And again, you know, going through the research and everything, something else that stood out was this was a historian said, American history is not a fairy tale, but it can handle criticism. And I agree with 50% of that sentence.
I was going to say, the first 50, yeah.
Right.
They can't handle any fucking criticism.
It cannot. It doesn't stand up to criticism. And I think Andrew Jackson is the perfect example of that because, you know, any, you know, people will argue that presentism, which I'd never heard of before, presentism.
Oh, I haven't either.
Which is like the argument of, so I think we've kind of touched on it in different episodes, but when you apply the logic and the morals of the modern day and then apply it to the past, so like presentism.
Okay.
So people, not holding the people from the past to current moral standards,
holding them to current standards.
Holding the current moral standards. Okay, gotcha.
Right,
gotcha.
And then saying, well, it's really easy because they don't stand up, you know, due to what happened back then being very different to now. And you would hope that some of the policies that we will kind of, you know, learn about through you guys tonight, you know, you would hope that that would be extremely difficult to do, you know, in the modern day. But it stands, you know, but you, if you also go back and look at it all, and this is kind of the end of the intro for me, but Andrew Jackson was 100% kind of going against the grain. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was also standing alone in a lot of different senses, and people that were within the same political party that he was almost kind of forming and everything at the time didn't agree with him.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and
it's kind of like the same thing as you know, like, hey, that was just like what was happening back then. Like Andrew Jackson was just caught up with it. First of all, number one, with a bullet, that's a fucking stupid argument. That argument's right. Fucking dumb.
Just because everybody's a product of their time is not an argument. Like,
right. I mean, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you too? It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wouldn't jump off a bridge.
Which is also the dumbest counter argument, but okay.
yeah. But and then secondly, like it strips away the evil of it, and that's so unfair.
Yeah.
It does. It does exactly that, CJ. It strips away the evil. Because not everybody was that evil. And I'm sure you guys will touch on that. So to kind of to on an end note, you know, as president, Andrew Jackson deliberately feuded with houses of Congress, his own cabinet, the U.S. Supreme Court, the Bank of the United States, Native Americans, state governments, and basically anybody he could pick a fight with. Like, he just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's That's my intro.
No, yeah, and I just to piggyback off of that, like, I think, you know, yeah, you can't ever use the argument like, oh, like, they're just a product of their time. It's a different time. It's a different age. It's like, no, like, evil's still evil. Like, not everyone thinks that way, so therefore it's not the way of the age. I do also see the point where you can't always judge people from the past off of current moral standards, because moral standards constantly change. Yeah. But evil is still evil, and a racist is still a racist, and a bigot is still a bigot. That has never fucking changed.
Yeah. Well, oh, you want, like, you want to live like that? Cool. Oh, you have a hangnail? Cool. I'll chop your fucking foot off, bro. Let's do this. Let's live like it. Let's do it. Have your baby on a pile of fucking dirt. Let's party, son. You want to fucking do it?
What's that? I feel like you're in that you're in that fucking headset right now of like Michael Keaton's Batman. You want to get crazy? Let's get crazy.
Right. You want to live like this? Let's do it, man. Hey, guess what? Your wife can't talk anymore. Dude, done. Cool. She can't vote. Nobody gets any rights.
She can't vote.
Like, you want to fucking party? Let's party. Shut the fuck up. It's such a dumb argument, man.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we discussed Michael Keaton's Batman somehow in all of this, because first of all, the best Batman film. Second of all,
absolutely.
It is. You can't apply the logic, but also you have to just take a look at what was happening at the time and you think, okay, well, you know, if anybody else had rose to power at that point, would they have done the same things? And quite frankly, I don't think that they would have.
Yeah, a lot of them wouldn't. A lot of them disagreed.
a lot of them were like, this is unconstitutional.
Yeah. Fucking stupid. You know, like, yeah.
Fucking just walk it like you talk it, motherfucker. Yeah. See you.
So, yeah. Okay, well, I'll go into some of his more detailed shit.
Long walk off a short pier, buddy.
Yeah. It's funny that Trump is such a obviously admirer of him and reflects him a lot when Trump has probably never even seen a $20 bill in his life. So,
because he's constantly shoving $1 bills into strippers.
He only deals in ones and 100s.
Excuse me, her name is Stormy. Thank you very much.
Yes, Stormy. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the fucking shit that he did.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work, and very talented. And, you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. Reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Okay, so we're back on Andrew Jackson. I always want to continue it and just say Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Jackson Jihad.
Yeah, because it's a good band. And yes, CJ, yes.
CJ has a question.
I have a statement, actually, about Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Oh, okay.
They recently changed their name to AJJ going forward.
Okay.
So they did it out of sensitivity to the Muslim nation and to people that believe in that faith.
And to everyone else, Andrew Jackson offended.
and the other reason is that everybody calls him AJJ anyways.
Okay. Oh, so that's good to know.
Sean, the lead singer, actually just decided to change it just to AJJ going forward.
Yeah. That country band Lady Antebellum recently did that too. I don't know if they changed it too, but like, you know, because Antebellum refers to like the period of racism and like slavery, and it's like,
right,
you still kind of knew that when you made the fucking band, so Like, well, no one cares. Like
jihad, like jihad literally means what is it? A fight or a struggle against the enemy of the Islam nation.
Yeah.
So, but they were using it in a sense where it's a fight or a struggle against Andrew Jackson.
Oh, is that literally what they meant? Like against this Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool though.
So it was like a fight or a struggle of a person against the Islam nation, but they used it in the sense that it's a fight against Andrew Jackson.
Oh, well, good for them.
So. Just to throw it in, they changed the name to Lady A.
Putting it right over there with no one fucking cares.
Lady Lady A.
I care a shitload about Andrew Jackson Jihad or AJJ now.
They're I know you do.
They're one of, Cody, we went to a show once, remember?
Yeah, right after you first moved back, we went to a show.
Yeah, we saw Kimya Dawson.
Yeah.
The person that got famous for the Juno soundtrack opened for them.
You went ham at that show.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, Kimya
Dawson has, like, I'm not a huge fan of AJJ. I do appreciate them, but I'm not a huge fan, but like I've never been in the situation. CJ and I have been to fucking, I don't even know how many shows together. And I don't think I've ever been at a show where I was just like, okay, yeah, this is good. And CJ was like pouring his fucking heart out of his mouth, singing every song. And I'm just like over at the fucking bar. I'm like, I felt like the date. I was like, oh, this is great.
Did you feel like you had taken your kid to see the show?
I did. I was like, oh, chaperoned. So much fun.
Like we went to go see the Wiggles or something.
Exactly.
You're like, look at him out there living he's having the time of his life.
So much fun. I like looked at the person next to him like, kids.
That's my boy.
It was a great show though. It was
that's my boy up there.
That's my boy.
See him over there.
It was a fantastic show. It was actually fucking phenomenal. But yeah. So okay, so when constructing this, I thought of, like, you know, like we usually do, go through a timeline, go through, you know, make it into a story kind of thing. And I was like, you know what? Like, this is just an individual person who's done a lot of really shitty things and responsible for a lot of really shitty things. So I put together my Jackson 5 greatest hits.
Nice.
Of just the bullshit he's responsible for. I think
interesting choice of words, Cody.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be for him, yeah. I just can't get around the last name. It just makes me think of, you know, the Jackson. clap.
Did Mark just clap?
Yeah. I think 1, 2, 3, 4. It might actually clock in really around 5 major events I'm going to cover. That's why I was like the Jackson 5 kind of thing. But this guy was an absolute lunatic and the prime example of, like, quote unquote, the wrong person to be fucking president, probably up until now. Like, this guy held the mantle. Not now, like with Biden, but like Trump. But like,
right.
So like any, like most like scumbags, like you think of their prime origin stories, it obviously starts with him stealing someone's wife. That's literally where you like start yourself as a scumbag. This story is really quick. It goes one of two ways. If you listen to him, it's no. Like her husband was a drunk, and she filed for divorce, and then we got married. And I was like, ha ha, joke's on you. You want us to assume that in the 1800s women could file for divorce? We know better than that. You know better than that. Like, they couldn't do that forever. Like, until, like, a century later. Like, so the fact that he tried to play it off, and we all know that he didn't respect women anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, it
and to fucking everyone, respect anybody.
Exactly. And that was his take on it. To everyone else, they just started fucking and, like, moving together before the divorce ever happened.
Philandering.
Yeah, well, no, like, not even that. Like, they went and got married, like, full-on got married, moved in together, started their family, like, their lives, and then, like, according to him, saying, like, oh, like, something went wrong, like, clerically, and, like, the divorce was never finalized, so we had to finish that and then go get married again. But to everyone else, it was like, no, you guys just fucking, like, it was bigamy, and you just fucking went with it and then got divorced. Like, so you're just a fucking liar. Like, and that would...
So he's a liar too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. To top off everything, he's a liar.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time processing.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm getting the vapors over here.
Well, see, and here's the thing.
Piece of shit, racist, genocidal fucking cunt is a liar?
Yeah. And he doesn't like people lying about him. So,
wow.
Yeah, slander is not his favorite thing. Especially when it's true. So,
oh, wow, you poor baby.
This obvious start to his like social career like brings a lot of whispers and snickers like behind his back, like to the point where, and this is where I got really excited and I had to reread this a couple times. A lawyer named Charles Dickinson. I got really excited that Andrew Jackson was about to fight Charles Dickens.
That would have been incredible. That would have been like a celebrity death match. From back in the day.
So fucking epic.
Oh my God. I loved that show.
That show was so good.
Such a good show.
I went a full, like probably hour of this thinking that like this was Charles Dickens. And then I was like, oh, it's Charles Dickens' son.
Dickinson. Like,
his Charles Dickens' son.
Hold on. Real quick. This is going to be a little crass. But if last names at that time were based on your profession, what the fuck was Dick in Son doing?
I mean, poor choice of profession.
All the wrong things.
All the wrong things. Also, I think we were kind of past that point. I think that was more for like immigrants, where like your last name was chosen for your profession.
All right. Just making sure he's not...
Not white people, CJ.
sorry.
Yeah, so... So this guy, he slanders both of them in a paper, basically just calling his wife Rachel, like, I don't know, like a harlot or something like that. Also calling Andrew a coward and like a fucking pussy, basically.
Ooh, get him.
So Jackson does what he loves to do, that Mark alluded to, is fucking duel people. He fucking loves dueling people. It's how he solves all of his fucking problems. But
this guy is harder for a pistol than fucking Yosemite Sam.
This guy wants
that's
to
a great analogy. Yeah,
that was fucking
Yosemite
perfect.
Sam loves pistols.
This guy wants to fucking shoot everything under the sun. Like, and it doesn't matter the grievance. Like, if you fucking cross him on the street and fucking cough, it's like duel. And like no fucking hesitation. So, but the kicker with this guy is he fucking knows that Charles Dickinson is a renowned fucking crack shot. This guy is like known around, like he's been in duels before and he fucking kills everyone. First shot, and he's
a regular Doc Holliday.
He's a fucking Doc Holliday. Yeah, this guy, he's quick and he's accurate. So Jackson comes up with a really fucking cowardly strategy. He decides that when they turn, he's not gonna shoot. He's gonna let Dickinson shoot first and hope that he fucking survives, because under dual law, the other person, if the that shot misses, has to stand fucking still while his opponent takes a shot.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. Hold on. Do they both get to move during the first fire then?
No, they turn and shoot. Cannot move. It's a turn and shoot. Whoever shoots first, like if basically everyone assumes that both are going to shoot simultaneously, but if one person does not, they are allowed their shot.
If it's like 10 paces and the other party cheats at 9 paces and misses, that party has to stay still while the other person gets to shoot.
Basically, yeah, but not even if they cheat. Like, even like in this case, if Jackson just decides not to shoot right when they turn, Dickinson still has to stand there and wait.
Well, that's obviously that's interesting. Is that a good strategy or not?
It's a good strategy, but it's a fucking cowardly strategy, because he's banking on either a miss or he survives. Yeah. And right. what happens is he gets really fucking lucky because Dickinson is true his fucking namesake, and he actually mm-hmm. hits Jackson right in the chest. And right. the bullet gets lodged right next to his fucking heart, like, which stays there till Jackson dies of it, like, later.
Oh yeah. I have a funny story about that later too.
Oh, cool. So yeah. he gets hit. Luckily, his arm still fucking works. So while he's sitting there fucking with a bullet and his chest bleeding, Dickinson has to stand there and wait while Jackson takes all the time he wants to fucking aim, and he shoots him dead.
Oh,
and from there on, he is known as, like, kind of a coward by most people for doing that and not actually dueling.
Right.
So, like, he shot an unarmed, unprepared person point blank. But since it was an official agreed-upon duel, he gets away with it. So...
Yeah, he like played a mulligan basically. It's like yeah. it's an unrespected thing in a popular game.
Exactly.
It's like sure it's a part of the rules, but everybody knows it's like an unwritten rule not to be a little bitch about it.
Exactly. So going forward, you know, we've got him. He's a wife sealer. He's a coward. Also a racist, a fucking huge racist. Mainly against Native Americans. Like, he fucking hates Native Americans. So at this time, he is living in Nashville. This is where, like, he spends most of his life. Nashville is just a really small town in the middle of the woods, basically, at this point, surrounded by indigenous territory. And he just sits there and, like, festers and fucking hates them. Hates everything that they do, just sees them as savages.
Mark, you've been to Nashville.
I was just about to say, I was trying to raise my hand.
Okay.
If only Nashville had stayed a small town in the woods.
Like, why?
Because it's like, well, they call it, I believe they call it the Vegas of the South.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I've heard, yeah, it has that kind of reputation.
It is nothing but, well, nowadays, it's a strip of bars. And all that you see are bachelor and bachelorette parties and people drunker than you've ever seen another human being, you know, stumbling out of places, lining up to get into honky tonks. You know, I have seen lines to get into honky tonk longer than the best club, or, you know, supposed best club in New York City. Like, the line to get into honky tonk was longer in Nashville.
First off,
like longer than like the standard rooftop and meatpacking or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
First off, there's just something really nice about a British person saying honky tonk.
Yeah, there is. Say it one more time, Mark.
Honky tonk.
Second, it makes sense. Like, if that place is full of bachelor or bachelorette parties, like, it's 100% like the Southern Vegas. Cause that's, I mean, I, CJ and I went to Vegas for my bachelor party, so...
Right. It's the worst.
Yeah. It wasn't that then. It was just Jackson and his racist fucking hair. So... I couldn't think of something wittier. Basically, the War of 1812 comes, and, you know, it's... at face value, it's a second war between the U.S. and the British, but the British also align themselves with a lot of Native Americans, using that against the U.S.
When did this happen?
1812.
1812.
What? Why are you asking that? What?
For fun.
Okay. 18 fucking 10.
Okay? That joke didn't land.
No. So. The British ally themselves with the Native Americans to kind of, like, you know, leverage their position over the U.S. Obviously, Native Americans are probably pretty pissed at the U.S. for everything that we've been doing, pushing them out. So Jackson jumps at this fucking chance. Like, this is everything he's fucking wanted. You know, he hates Native Americans, fucking quote-unquote loves this country. And this is where he really gains his reputation. But before going against the British, he turns his attention immediately to the Creek people and goes after them relentlessly. And basically goes at them in such a brutal fucking campaign to the point where he has his men bringing him noses to count how many they've killed.
Jesus.
Oh, so sick.
Yeah. If you guys hadn't seen that while doing research, I knew that was going to get you guys.
No, I didn't. I didn't see it at all.
So basically Congo style. So they knew how many, so he knew how many Native Americans were killed. He made all of them bring them the noses.
Mark, Congo style means like it was the same thing that they used to bring the fingers.
The hands.
Okay.
Or the hands. The whole hands. Was it whole hands?
Oh, whole hands. To account for the bullets they used.
Yeah, because each bullet had to represent one dead body, so they'd bring a hand back.
Goddamn.
So, yeah, Jackson, you know, I guess you can carry more noses.
That was what, King Leopold, right?
Yeah. That was Leopold, yeah.
Yeah.
The nose is such a...
intimate like such thing.
Yeah, because...
Like, you got to get it down there on their face and cut it off, like...
Yeah.
Very personal.
And I'm not saying that, like, don't get me wrong, bringing hands back as a proof of... you know, dead bodies is grotesque, well, but like,
yeah, but there's a key difference between the hands and the noses, though. And to throw back to that episode, the hands, the soldiers bringing back the hands in the Congo was because they were only allowed to use their bullets for hunting for food. Mm-hmm. So when they wanted to use them, like, or sorry, they weren't allowed to use them for food. So when they killed boars and everything for food so they could eat because they weren't given rations, they would then go like cut off the hands of people to account for the bullets. So most of these people that they brought back hands from, they weren't killing, they just brought back their hands. So they could account for the fact that they killed a pig to eat. This is different. Jackson just wanted to know how many fucking Native Americans were killed. And like this would continue later to the Seminole War, where he would write to his wife saying, like, yeah, this is all going fucking great. We've killed so many Indians. Like, at least half of them are going to die from disease and starvation. Like, that's how proud he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was fucking stoked on that. Then, once he finally put his attention on the British, was when in the Battle of Louisiana, when he went down to Louisiana, took charge immediately with literally a hundreds of men repelled thousands of British troops and their navy. And this is where he really gets seen as a war hero for repelling the British in Louisiana. But that's to the rest of everyone else outside of Louisiana. What everyone in Louisiana dealt with was him immediately coming in, putting the entire area under martial law and not lifting it for like months after the battle. Like, he held Louisiana as a king for an extended amount of time, literally punishing anyone who outspoke to him. Like, even senators and judges who said, like, hey, you gotta let it go. Like, a senator, he put them in jail, just saying, fuck you, this is mine. So
I did. So I read that he was referred to as King Andrew.
Yeah, King Andrew the First. There's actually like a newspaper drawing of it.
So is that where that comes from?
Yeah, the fact that he walked into Louisiana and just took it over.
Is that the same newspaper drawing that kind of drew him as almost a like a tiger with a man's face kind of thing?
I didn't see that one.
I saw that.
Was you saw that one? Okay, where he was like a beast with a man's face.
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was from the same thing, but I did see that illustration.
Yeah. But yeah, real, like essentially that is what it comes, like the other, the King Andrew thing comes from, was the fact that like he just put Louisiana in this like tyrant state for months. And to the rest of the U.S., he was a war hero because he you know, beat away the British, you know, especially, I mean, anytime anyone up until the, you know, the 1800s beats away the British in a naval battle,
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that's like, yeah, the British thing Navy that we had going ultimate for us.
Yeah, you get instant fucking props for beating the British Navy. Yeah. But to everyone in Louisiana, they were like, this guy needs to fucking leave. Like, they like weren't that grateful. So, I mean, up to this point, if you or anybody thought he just hated Native Americans, also hates black people. So, he obviously owned a shit ton of slaves, like a ton of them. He inherited a bunch. He bought a bunch. He traded them. He was weirdly praised for the conditions that his slaves lived in. Like, a lot of people knew him for his plantations being somewhat of a community, and his slaves were able to earn money and actually, like, go shopping, and, like, there was a little bit of, like, a market type thing, like, going on. But he also rewarded he hated runaway slaves, and anytime one did, he would reward the person who brought them back for, like, I think it was like $50 for every lash that they had.
It was $10 for 100 lashes.
$10 for, oh, well, I was way off. Sorry. I was like, yeah, $50 by 1800 standards.
Yeah, but $10 back then was a lot of money.
Yeah, so you got more money for how many times you whipped them before you brought them back. And this is like all before he's even fucking president. Like, so.
I really wish, not to cut you off, Cody.
No, like, go for it. I've been talking
really
for a while.
I really wish that was the last time in American history that pre-presidential race, a candidate did something awful and then made it to be president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sadly, it's kind of a bit of a pattern.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, it's almost par for the course.
Yeah, now it's like, well, I did this. What did you do?
Yeah. I don't feel like anyone, like, you know, lack of a better word, I don't think anyone trumps him. But, like,
Cody.
Sorry.
Boo.
But, like, I mean, no president in the modern age can. This guy had, like, these fucking things at his disposal. But it's not like any president now, before being president, could go to war with Native Americans and then fucking whip slaves. Like,
true. As much as they might want to.
They probably would love it. Like,
Jesus.
They would probably jump at the fucking chance to do everything he did. So, he also fucking hated abolitionists. Like, fucking hated them. Basically said they all deserved to die. Obviously, I mean, he loves slaves, loves owning them, so why would he like them? So, real quick, the only part I have about him as president, basically when he becomes president, he fires nearly 1,000 government workers, like, it was like 940 or something, and replaces them with all of his fucking friends, anyone who helped him get there. So it's like he sets the fucking bar for fucking favoritism, and like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. What'd you say?
Nepotism.
Yeah, but nepotism is like usually when you're related.
Familial.
It's
like a family.
Yeah, it's familial. Yeah.
Exactly along those lines, though. Because I wanted to use that term, but I'm like, it's not, because I mean, unless he has 1,000 family members. But
let me hire my drunk cousin Cletus.
I'm surprised he has 1,000 fucking friends. So basically, yeah, he replaces everyone in government with basically his people, which becomes the fucking trend going forward. And then also, just to prove how much of a fucking idiot he is, he doesn't trust paper money or banks, because one time, like, someone bought something from him on credit and then they, like, backed out. So he, like, lost all faith in fucking credit and, like, doesn't understand how to, like, make deals work. So he shuts down the federal bank at the time, which is, like, the Bank of the U.S. or whatever, and plunges the entire country into a fucking depression because he forces everyone to purchase things with gold. And, like, it destroys the currency because he's a fucking moron and doesn't understand how it works.
I read that. It was, like, a 7-year depression, I think.
Yeah. And that's why, like, you might hear a lot that, like, you know, when Clinton was in office, he got the national debt the lowest it's been since Jackson. Because Jackson started the fucking national debt, basically. Like, by, like, plummeting us out, like, literally, like, stripping us of a currency.
I heard that. I think it was between Bush Senior and then the Clinton administration, it got to the lowest.
It's been. And because of this, this actually led to the first ever presidential attempted assassination, where someone actually...
Oh, interesting. What happened? Yeah,
so some guy tried to assassinate Jackson during his second term. During this depression, he was, like, an unemployed, like, house painter. And he pulled a pistol on him in the streets, fired and missed. Jackson then returned by beating him nearly to death with his cane until citizens pulled him off. And when no one, like, the guy didn't die, but when they asked him, why did you try to kill the president? He was like, if we kill him, money will be more plentiful.
Interesting. I read that he pulled a pistol and it basically jammed.
Mm.
And then he pulled a second pistol and it also jammed.
Ah, shit.
and then Jackson just beat the living shit out of him.
Yeah, like Jackson was like, I think he was like 70 something at this point.
He was just old.
Fucking got on him with a cane.
We need better assassins, dude. Like,
well, they get better. I mean, this is president number 7. They get better. By the time we get to Abe Lincoln, they're pretty good at it. So,
I mean, but then it's also
devolved. Yeah. Like, it hit its apex with JFK, but then people just threw shoes from, like, going forward.
Yeah.
And also, JFK was pretty, like, miraculous that he was
if you believe that. But
yeah.
What was that terrible joke I heard the other day, which was, I wonder what the last thing to go through JFK's mind was?
Oh, a bullet?
We all know the end of that sentence.
Oh, no,
well, I said it anyway. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically it. What I have. Obviously, his biggest offense is the Indian Removal Act, which we're not going to talk about now because there's something coming. But I didn't want anyone to think that I just left that out because that is his biggest offense. But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
All right, let's take a quick breather.
Okay.
Get our heads in check.
And we'll be back.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's, like, absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give me your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle. Give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
Recording in progress.
Thank you, Senpai.
Notice me, Senpai. Okay, so
where are we at, Siege?
This is the most backwoods episode I've ever done. I'm in a parking lot in my car, a block away from my job, and I made a booklet out of, can you guys see this? It's like I stapled it and everything. I made like a book.
Oh, like
I didn't have my notebook on me.
Like literally in like elementary school when they tell you to make a book.
Yeah, right, like a project.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's three staples of which are the binding on my notes. Okay.
You might as well have written on receipt paper.
Yeah, basically. I wrote it. Half of this is on my hand, so this might be difficult.
You just start opening other compartments in your car, like there's a slip in your fucking like rearview mirror or your fucking dashboard. Just open your sunglass compartment. And you're like, no, it's like.
That just reminded me of my best band speech to you, where I pretended to read off my hand.
Yeah. And then rip the paper out. Didn't you rip the paper out of your book? Yeah.
Yeah, I ripped the paper out of my book.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways. So Andrew Jackson, season 5, episode 9. Boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're so close.
We are so close. We have one more until the end of this fucking season.
Yeah.
With literally the densest amount of racist I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In a season of Justice Time Machine.
Yeah.
This one has a lot of shitty American history. And a lot of racists, and I can't wait to be done with this season and start something new. But hey, while we're here, Andrew Jackson. He was born March 15th, 1767. He was a Pisces, Mark.
Oh, fuck you, Mark. Oh, he's with us. Guy. You tried to get around it, and I knew CJ was going to say it anyway.
Got you. Yeah. He died on June 8th, 1845. He was 78 years old.
What was his death sign?
78, too old.
Too old. Wait, when did he die?
June.
Okay, June 8th, 1845.
So what? I want to know what his death sign was. Because didn't we talk about that?
Well, you want to look it up? Yeah, go for it.
He died a Gemini.
You two-faced piece of shit.
Yep. All
right. What's cool a Pisces? Pisces is a fish, right?
Yeah, see, we're kind of two-faced, too. Two-faced his whole life.
He was born a fish and died a bitch. So he died of heart failure and also dropsy, which I've never heard of before. Dropsy was an early American term for edema, or a fluid buildup in, you know, your feet and hands.
No, what? CJ, I think dropsy is like a tuning on a guitar.
Oh my God, Mark, when he's on, he's on.
That was a good one.
Drop C. Oh my God, that was so good, Mark. All right, but it is edema.
I would have guessed that he died from fucking lead poisoning from the bullet in his fucking chest.
Right. Well, it was actually in his throat, Cody.
What?
Yeah, so I looked that up, and I thought it was, you know, we'll talk about it now, but apparently the bullet was caught in his throat and it caused him to cough up blood a lot, and it also caused him to actually have full body seizures.
Oh, that's fucking metal.
Well, I mean, a bullet is metal, so yeah, you got that right.
brutal as shit.
This piece of shit was buried at the Hermitage. And the Hermitage is a museum in Nashville, Tennessee, Mark's favorite place in the world.
Where he crashes all the bachelorette parties.
He comes in pockets full of penis gummy candies.
Yeah.
That's how you lure them away.
When he tells us he's in fucking the Dutch country, he's actually in Nashville, Tennessee, fucking bombing bachelorette parties.
Yep. So the Hermitage was actually owned by Andrew Jackson, and it was built by the hands of enslaved Black people, men, women, and children. It's over 1,000 acres. Much of that land was actually dedicated to cotton farming, and there was also slave dwellings that were 6 feet by 6 feet on this property. And this is a national, it's an American museum that still is almost boastful in hosting the fact that it has slave dwellings 6 feet by 6 feet.
Wait, I'm sorry. So he was a known slave owner who loved to fucking reward people for beating slaves. He was buried on a plantation, and it's a museum.
It is a recognized national museum,
which praises him and also is like, hey, look at a 6 by fucking 6 cell that people had to live in.
Do you know what's? I'm in my car right now, and this is 6 by 6.
Are we supposed to be impressed by this?
No, you're not. You're supposed to be mad.
I'm impressed by how fucking absurd it is.
But the fact that you were saying, CJ, that they're kind of boastful, are they trying to suggest? Because I know that Cody had mentioned he was almost like pioneering himself as a, you know, he was a slave owner, but he was a good slave owner.
Yeah, like they were able to earn an income and like
the fact that they're boastful about it
and shit. Like
the fact that they're boastful about it is the fact that it hasn't been burnt down since.
The South.
Like, I'm sorry. Right. Like, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, like a very like low income apartment, and I'm looking at the fucking wall in front of me, and it's 2 of me, and I'm 6 foot.
Right.
Like, so it's like by fucking meager standings now, I have a fucking room double that size. And they're fucking boasting about it. Like, look at this fucking amenity.
the Hermitage still exists, and they still do tours, and it's still like in the national, the museum archives or something. It's like it's understood as like a piece of American history, and the fact that it hasn't just been torched by this point is beyond me.
I want to go take that tour and fucking walk right next to the tour guide and crop dust them the entire time, like
Okay, actually, let's make a promise to each other. In like what, like 4 months' time, let's all take a trip out to Nashville and salt this motherfucker up, dude.
Yes, thumbs up, Mark. We'll meet Mark there after his bachelorette party, and then we'll go.
Wait, but Mark's a bachelor. What are you talking about?
Well, I bet his bachelorette party, like the one of that weekend that he's crashing.
Oh, that I'm. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Then we'll go. Like,
so yeah. on the Hermitage, on this property, is also a safe house for Andrew Jackson and his wife, specifically built to protect them from Native American assault. Exactly.
Is that the worst kind of safe room I've ever heard of?
All right, so here's his career on paper, and feel free to stop me at any time.
His wife has the second worst name, next to fuck, or probably the third worst name next to Karen. It's like Karen and then Megan, and then her name's Rachel. So,
oh yeah, I hate Rachel.
Yeah,
I hate a Rachel.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Sorry. I've only met one that I liked, and it just doesn't bend the curve. So
let's move forward, because Mark and I both know a very lovely Rachel.
Yeah, I know one too. The answer's one.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah, everybody gets one. Spider-Man.
She's the Highlander of Rachels.
Yeah.
All right, so let me go through his career and just tell me if you want me to stop for a vomit break.
Okay.
All right, so he was a member of the House of Representatives from December 4th, 1796 do you need a vomit break?
Yeah,
oh, that was quick. until December to September 26th, 1797. He was on the Tennessee Supreme Court June 1798 to June 1804. He was the governor of Florida, so, I mean, right there, right?
Like, there it is.
Wait, hold on. Before you go further, do you have more on Florida, or is that it?
No, just that, I mean, he was, like, what, the ghost of DeSantis, I guess?
So basically, just to add to the Florida thing, so later in his career, Florida was known as a refuge for runaway slaves, and he fucking went on a rampage down there and like attacked a fort that was like coin named like the Negro Fort or something stupid like that. Jesus and like Christ. Purposely like had his men target their gunpowder reserve. So it blew up the fucking fort and he killed 270 fucking people.
Jesus.
And
God damn like, it. What the fuck?
It ended like Florida being a refuge for runaway slaves. Cause then like shortly after that, Florida was annexed into the fucking nation. So like he single-handedly like fucking stopped Florida from being a fucking like safe haven for slaves.
What's that old like Patton Oswalt joke? Like everybody says like Florida is America's dick, but Patton Oswalt calls Florida America's nutsack.
I guess.
It's the big droopy nutsack hanging off the end. It's a good joke. That guy's a fucking genius.
He is.
Okay, so
I had to throw that in there. Yeah, he fucked up Florida.
He was a U.S. senator, 1823 to 1825.
Oh, was he? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and then he became the seventh president of the United States for two consecutive terms, 1829 to 1837, and he was succeeded, like we talked about, by Martin Van Buren.
It's crazy to think that up until I don't know, not FDR, but like after Jackson, that like the two-term rule was implied, because he only didn't run for a third term because he got old, but he was allowed to, which is so fucking crazy.
So Andy Jack, I guess we'll call him, or on that point, can we just call him A Jack Ass?
What is called Jack Off?
Jack Off? Yeah. Oh, holy shit, Cody. I just got your Jackson 5 joke. Fuck. All right.
Oh.
That was a while ago. Fuck me.
Because he's Jackson. I talked about five things.
Yeah, okay. Fuck me. God damn it. I just got that joke. Shit. Fuck, I'm an idiot. All right. So this fucking bitch, this bitch owned 161 slaves and fully embraced slavery to its absolute core. The Hermitage was actually a collective for his slaves, and he brought some of those slaves to the White House with him. So in American history, slaves worked free of charge at the White House.
Oh, great. Cool.
And that's a really interesting point that I came across. I was like, wait, the White House actually owns slaves?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
If the president did, I guess, they did. Like,
yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
That is pretty fascinating.
It's a little poignant, I think. Where I wonder if a part of our most heralded house in the world, we benefited from slave labor. That's fucking crazy.
I wonder if that's conducive, like going back prior to, because like we all know, like Jefferson owned a shit ton of slaves. Like, did he have them working at? Which we can't even really call the White House, because the White House, as we know, wasn't a thing until after Lincoln. But like, whatever the president's residential area was, like, did they all have slaves working there, or was that like just a Jackson thing?
I'm not certain. I haven't done the research on other presidents.
I read curious. That six of the eight, in terms of the first eight, were previous slave owners before becoming president. I don't know if that meant that, to CJ's point, that they kind of like moved the slaves that they owned at the time into the White House.
I would safely assume so.
I mean, it stands for belief.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, it's just weird, like, I don't know, like, considering that I know that like the White House wasn't the White House until Lincoln. What was it? It wasn't the White House.
It was the plantation.
The presidential plantation.
Yeah. So anyways, he Cody was talking about in his segment, he hated escapees even more than he hated, slaves.
Everyone and hates a no call, no show.
He called anti-slave advocates monsters, which can I just say, Uno reverse card, you fuckface. You're the fucking monster, dude. You're the monster.
Uno reverse card.
You didn't like my retail joke?
That's like, I am made of rubber and you are made of glue.
Yeah. Well, monsters? That's what the new, who do you think you are? Cards.
Yeah. I'm also just mad that you guys didn't appreciate my retail joke, but whatever.
Oh, go ahead, Cody. Do it again.
Oh, no, I think you're like, you talk about runaway slaves. I was like, yeah, no one likes a no-call, no-show.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Sorry. Fuck me!
No.
Okay, go.
So, he straight up called, just like literally a quote for the Indian removal, which was one of his policies. Indian removal. Yeah. And it was in quotes, Indian removal. And I don't want to get too much into this because I know we have something, on our ledge here.
Yeah.
But that being quoted as an act scares the fucking ever loving piss out of me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Before I let you go.
Wait, is nobody raising their hand on my segment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Okay. Go ahead, Cody.
Okay. So I actually left this note out when I was talking about him annihilating the Creek people and like cutting off their noses. He also expelled them from fucking, hold on, let me grab my fucking notes. It was, I can't believe I actually forgot to say this. Where the fuck am I? Oh, 23 million acres of land. So, yeah. That is literally, that's half of Alabama and southern Georgia. And this was during the fucking surrender agreements. And some of these people were their allies during the War of 1812. And he was like, yeah, you guys all gotta get the fuck out. And this is before like you just said, CJ, the Indian Removal Act, he already expelled Native Americans from 23 million acres.
Can somebody real quick look up how big an acre is? Because when I was a kid, we had a half acre. And I remember probably if I walked to the back fence, I would probably never be found again. Like it's a lot of space.
So 1 acre is 4,500 square feet.
That's so much space.
Wait, TJ, this what you just said reminds me of one of my favorite ever quotes by you.
Okay.
Something along the lines of like, up until the age of 6 years old, I was kept on a leash.
It's true. I was a leash kid.
Also, as a real quick correction corner throwback.
Okay.
The White House has housed every U.S. president since John Adams in 1800. So, I think
it was a different building because I know during Lincoln, the White House that we know was being built. So it must have just been a different building.
It was like, burnt down by the British.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
during the War of 1812.
There we go. Okay.
But I think it's been on the same site. 1600.
It's been called the White House.
Yes, it's been on the same site since 1800. And then I think it was rebuilt after the fire.
Gotcha. But, also to put it in terms of like, so CJ, you have me look up an acre, like that's 43,000 square feet, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, to put it in perspective, like, you know, I didn't even know that. Like, for me, my uncle in Oregon, last time I was up there, he just purchased like an extra plot of land. Mm-hmm. So his property is now 100 acres. And I was like, I didn't really know what that meant. And now I fucking know what that means. I'm like, holy fuck. Like,
right,
my uncle has like, so much fucking land.
That's insane. Mark, that's fucking 9 Top Shops.
I was gonna say that's basically England. Like that's the like.
Is it really?
No, I'm being facetious. Okay. But...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's 435,000 square feet.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we're over.
So let's keep rolling. Let's keep rolling. So so Andrew Jackson, A Jack Ass. Is responsible for displacing 50,000 Native Americans. He signed 70 removal treaties of the Native American peoples. So 70 different treaties, all responsible for getting rid of Native Americans in America.
Yeah,
right.
He was a Freemason.
Oh, well, obviously.
He was a Presbyterian.
Obviously.
And he was also awarded the Congressional Gold Medal.
Obviously. These are all, like, obvious.
This fucking cunt is on the 20.
Yeah. Well, not for much longer.
2030.
It's going to be...
Harriet Tubman. Changed.
I put it to you, exactly. Tear every fucking statue down of this motherfucker, burn his plantation, burn the Hermitage, and get Harriet Tubman on the fucking 20 ASAP. This is done, dude. This is over. It's not even a question anymore.
Mark, you said it's not happening until 2030?
2030 is when the...
Why does it take that long to start printing a new piece of paper?
Because of the American mint, you know, the whatever the mint standard
make
or...
Make a fucking plate and fucking print it.
Yeah,
we could come. We could suddenly fucking release an entire set of presidential fucking gold dollars,
mm-hmm.
and fucking mm-hmm. state silver dollars. We could do that on the fucking drop of a proverbial dime.
The president can also pardon. You know, the president can pardon whoever they want.
Yeah,
at any
but we
point.
Can't just print a new fucking bill. Like we still have fucking 20s. Of Jackson prior to the ones that are all fucking beautiful and colored.
Right.
But we can't change the face? That's fucking stupid. That takes a decade? Fuck you.
Like, I know that we... Sorry, CJ, go.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Mark. It's fine.
No, we were talking about how this season, you know, the theme of unfortunate theme of racism has kind of come up time and time again in a couple of different episodes. And I know that we've coincidingly kind of discussed white supremacy naturally as a result of that, right? But I almost feel like after doing my research that Andrew Jackson is like the white supremacist's white supremacist. Like he is, he's their gold standard.
It's like him and Cecil Rhodes are like the fucking like forefathers.
Legitimately.
Yeah. 100%.
I do not disagree at all.
Yeah,
it's like the pantheon of shitheads must go like, you know, Hitler, Goebbels, and then Andrew Jackson.
Right. Yeah, it's
what was the,
so anyways.
Wait, sorry. What was the time frame for Andrew Jackson?
CJ's rolling around in the back of his car.
I'm never going to finish this. So, okay, Andrew Jackson, 1767 to 1845.
That's how long he lived, right?
Yeah, that's how long he lived. Yeah.
Fucking like Cecil Rhodes takes over like right after him. It's like he's the fucking reincarnation of Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, death like, incarnate.
But in British.
Like, yeah. Cunt incarnate.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, you know, and like we both said, like me and CJ both said, like, yes, we know that the the Indian Removal Act is a huge thing. And like, you know, just to put it out there for everyone, like, that's what the fucking finale is. We're going to get into it. That's a whole fucking episode itself. And I'm going to get real angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The entire time. Not necessarily my people, but it is my people. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I'm gonna be real aggressive with it. So
I have a little bit more to get through, and then we will definitely.
Oh, we're not done yet. Okay,
no,
sorry.
No, sorry.
No, I'm but, sorry. No, you don't be sorry, you precious baby.
Oh, thank you, thanks, darling. All right, I'll get through a little bit more, and then we'll tease the next episode for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I looked into, I was like, well, why hasn't there been like a Hamilton for Andrew Jackson?
Ah.
But there has been. There what? Has been a play. And it's called Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. There's what? A play about really? Him. And in this play, there's a song called 10 Little Indians. And it's literally about how 9 innocent Native Americans are murdered and the last one alive hangs himself.
What?
Oh, God.
It's one of the darkest plays I've ever read. I read it this afternoon, and it sent me on an early lunch, I'll tell you that.
Wow, okay. Well, also, so, hold on. I'm sorry. I thought Hamilton was actually about how Hamilton is a badass.
Right.
So there wouldn't really be a Hamilton version
well,
of
no, my,
Jackson.
Well, no, my thought was, but... like, I was going to tell a joke that was like, thank God there's no Hamilton about this guy. Kind of thing, but that joke, you know, fell silent very, very rapidly after reading the transcript for Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Jesus. Awful. I need a Disney Plus version of this.
So people considered Andrew Jackson very short-tempered. They compared him to a volcano. They compared him to a volcano, and on his last day as president, he said he had only 2 regrets. One, that he didn't shoot Henry Clay, and the second, that he didn't hang John C. Calhoun. Okay. And Henry Clay was a former state senator,
yeah.
And John C. was a former vice president.
He actually
now, my last
did
point,
threaten to behead him.
Yes. My last point
yeah.
is of the man himself. He was 6'1" and 130 pounds.
Oh, what a
Who
fucking...
Are you? Who were you talking shit against, pal?
He's like
I
a
fucking got
like,
your number, bro.
He's like a
you're
leak.
A fucking,
he's a leak.
Dude, you're a fucking sad, wet sack of bones. I got you, dude.
He's a
you're
fucking
130
piece of celery.
Like, dude, I've taken shits bigger than you, friend. I got you.
Yeah.
Like, bring your sad sack of bones on. Your 6'1", scrawny little toothpick
six
ass.
Foot
I'm going to
one...
fucking... I will run shit right through you, friend.
I'm sorry. He's
swear to God.
6'1", 130?
130. Dude, he's a glorified border collie.
So he's 150 wet?
Like, yeah.
Jesus.
Soaking wet.
130 pounds. I swear to God, I will throw you out a fucking glass window.
Like, get out of here. I'm 6'6", 6'1", and I'm 230.
Like, yeah, dude, I'm 5'8", 190. Get the fuck out of here, buddy.
This guy's a fucking skeleton.
Like, yeah, fuck you, you fucking nerd. I got your number, friend. It's number nerd. 7, and I got it.
he kind of bucks an unfortunate... Well, so my favorite, my lucky number is 7. And Slevin. Andrew Jackson.
It's Slevin.
Slevin. Pronounced Slevin. and he kind of bucks that. He's the fucking worst. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, out of the 46 presidents we've had now, I think it's 46.
Yeah, I don't know the number.
You know, there's been some pretty god-awful.
Yeah, this is a bad people. Ones. Yeah.
And you know, more recently.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like we were just saying, you know, there was an affiliation or maybe an admiration, whatever, for this guy, which makes sense when, you know, the deeper you dive. And I think I was kind of referring to this with Cecil Rhodes, and you had mentioned him, Cody, you know, the way that history is taught to us, right, when we're in school. And Cecil Rhodes was being taught to me as like this incredible guy that had a vision for Africa that nobody else had, right? And if you read about Andrew Jackson, there's so much that will also, you know, will glorify him and talk about him as one of the best presidents that ever existed. And it goes back to the piece that I was saying in my section around how, you know, holding them to an expectation, but no, just no, that he was an awful human being.
Yeah.
You just cannot say, okay, well, if we go back to 1812 or, you know, the early 1800s, it was perfectly excusable to want to remove and kill thousands of Native Americans, or
and
you know,
cut off their noses and collect
and
them,
cut off like, their noses, or like to own 100 and I think he owned 160 slaves.
At 161.
161 slaves at the end of his life. You don't need to have the 2021 viewpoint of understanding that was not okay.
Do you guys want to make a deal? Until Harriet Tubman's on the 20, we're not using a 20 ever again.
Well, that's really hard to do.
That's easy. That's easy.
No, that's really hard.
I never use 20s.
I never use cash.
Yeah, I use cash
all the time. So,
do you have Apple Pay yet, Cody? Get Apple Pay.
No, I don't, because I don't.
I'll help you.
I don't use my fucking phone.
That's right. We've established that.
I don't have Apple Pay.
All right, Cody. Tease our next one. Let them know what's going
on. Okay. All right. Well, next time, I already said it, but we're going to talk about the Trail of Tears. That's going to be our season finale. We never usually tell you guys ahead of time, but this motherfucker leads right into it. So we're going to do the Trail of Tears. I'm going to get real angry. Real quick. So I'm not, I think this has a lot to do with the Cherokee and the Creek, which I'm not. I'm Sioux, but it still irritates the fuck out of me. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Let's make this like the ultimate, like, let's just take every one of these motherfuckers down, like, with us. Like, let's leave it all on the line. Like, I'm not scared of shit, especially a fucking 130-pound dead guy.
Yeah, 130-pound pack of bones.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to apply the methodology of someone that we've already discussed in season 4, Vlad the Impaler?
Yeah.
And apply that to everybody that was involved in the trailer tears and just
let's get a huge
spike directly through the middle of them.
right through the bunghole.
Yeah. right through the middle states of America. Right up your butt, you fucking rednecks. Let's do this shit.
Yeah. So all right. That's the season finale. Look forward to it. It's coming up.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Love you all.
We do. We love you.
All right.
I love you too.
Okay. Bye. No. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Oh, what? Bye.
Okay. Bye.